My name's Jono Bacon, and I am not a pirate.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I'm not a party.
Avast, this is the
Shot of Jack. January 2006, the Swedish Pirate Party launched their website with the aim of getting 2,000 signatures, which would qualify them as a real political party under Swedish law and allow them to stand in the September general election. In the 4 years since, their membership has ballooned, making them by member count the third largest political party in Sweden, with two members of the European Parliament, and has inspired the creation of pirate parties in 30 other countries, including the UK, the US, almost all of Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, Argentina and Chile. This is a new approach for copyright protesters. Traditionally, the way to make your voice heard as a single-issue voter was to set up a lobby group. The Electronic Frontier Foundation are a famous example of this for digital rights, and other countries have similar lobbying organisations like the UK's Open Rights Group. But the Swedish Pirate Party decided not to make their governing bodies aware of their issues, but to become part of those governing bodies. So, is this the right approach? Are we soon to see the free beer on Wednesdays party? Does having an ineffectual two seats in a broadly ineffectual European Parliament of 736 MEPs actually buy you anything other than being laughed at? National parliaments tend to make it much more difficult to elect representatives from minority parties, and no one's suggesting they want a pirate party to form a majority in national government. But in the grand scale of standing up for your viewpoint, where most of us can manage nothing better than to whine on Twitter, the various pirate parties have gone beyond lobbying and right into the field of international statesmanship. Are they wasting their time?
I don't really know. I mean, I think the thing about these kinds of parties, whether you're talking about the Pirate Party or talking about other kind of single issue parties, is I think people have a bit of suspicion about electing a group such as that who will mandate over a variety of different issues. And in that mind, I think that their primary purpose is to just make an awful lot of noise about their single issue. Now, that could be the Pirate Party, which is talking about digital rights and all the rest of it. That could be about the BNP, which is talking about shipping anybody who isn't Nick Griffin out of the country. I mean, you know, it's whatever the single issue might be, it seems that they just like to raise awareness about it. I don't know whether there's any actual practical political change in benefits of that, other than raising awareness in the minds of the electorate.
Well, this is the thing. Andrew Robinson, who's the guy who runs the UK Pirate Party, has explicitly acknowledged that the UK Pirate Party's chance of getting a Member of Parliament elected in the UK, the chances are pretty much close to zero. And so their aim is to raise awareness among voters and politicians, which is fine, but that's the definition of a lobby group. That's what the Open Rights Group tried to do. That's what the EFF tried to do in the US, raise awareness. That's what they're for. So why be a political party at all? What benefit do you derive from it?
I'd be curious to see what would happen if you got a lobbying group into the same room as a single-issue political party, and to see how they could compare and contrast in terms of achievements. Because, you know, like you say, you've got lots of these small kind of lobbying groups around particular issues, like the Open Rights Group or the Electronic Frontier Foundation or whatever. And they seem to be fairly effective in, like, kind of, like, raising the awareness of their fight, and also kind of rallying the troops to kind of move forward and spread the word about various things. But all you tend to hear about when it comes to minority actual political parties is failure. I mean, they never seem to get in there. The only time you tend to hear about this is when you get horribly fucked up parties like the British National Party, who will get a seat in a city in England, and people will be incredibly concerned naturally because there's a racist in that seat. It seems to be sensationalism and failure seems to be what's associated with a lot of these minority parties.
Well, this is the point. If you're a minority party, then even if you do manage to get someone elected, you're still a very small fish in a very big pond. You know, the Pirate Party has two seats in the European Parliament, but there are 736 sitting MEPs. Yep. So does it really buy you anything? There is something to be said for the fact that if you're a lobbying group and you want to get a voice heard within government, realistically, you have to go and find a government representative and convince them to bring your viewpoint onwards. So if you're the Open Rights Group or take the EFF, and you want questions to be asked in Congress, then you've got to go and find a congressman who agrees with your viewpoint and convince them to raise those questions, to ask those questions of the government. If you are actually a sitting member of that government, if the Pirate Party US managed to elect a congressman, for example, then you don't need to have to go through the effort of getting someone else to buy into your viewpoint. You've got someone there who already does. So there is something of a benefit there, but I don't know how much of a benefit it is.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, as well, is that the thing that I often think about with these minority parties is that because they focus on a single issue, it first of all makes me think that they don't really have much of a clue about all the other issues that people, you know, education, all the rest of it. And I think an element here is that it's hard enough to get voters to give a shit about education and schools and the law and international and foreign policy and, you know, actual real stuff. I mean, much as, you know, I support the digital rights movement, what's much more important to me is that when I have kids, that they have a good school to go to and that I feel safe in my area and all the rest of it. You know, it's hard enough to get people to care about that, let alone caring about this specific issue to give people enough, you know, passion to vote those people in.
So conceivably then, I completely agree with you. Getting real people to care about this kind of thing, to care about the things that we care about copyright reform, about digital rights, is incredibly hard. So conceivably then, the job of a lobby group is not actually to lobby the populace at all, it's to just lobby the politicians. Now, Sweden, I mean, because Sweden have had a pirate party for longer and it's had more success there than anywhere else, they're actually seeing genuine changes take place in government. Three of the other parties in Sweden have changed their stance on copyright reform. And during the prime ministerial election, both prime ministerial candidates stated publicly that it should not be illegal for young people to share files. Right? That's a huge step. And most commentators, Swedish political commentators, have attributed these changes in opinion and changing in direction from these parties and from prime ministerial candidates.
But surely
they have been attributed to the pirate party's rising popularity.
But surely it doesn't matter at the end of the day what government thinks about this. What matters is what content owners think. I mean, moving it towards more specifically what they're talking about, you could have a government, you could have the government, you know, a government in a particular country say, yep, you know what, we believe that you should be able to share files freely. But fundamentally, if that government, you know, acknowledges that and accepts that and makes that the rule of law in that country, what'll happen is that Universal and EMI and whatever other content providers will just say, well, you know what, fuck your country. We're not going to allow our content to be sold over there because people just copy it.
Well, fine, okay.
Which is a serious issue
if your country is Nigeria. Right.
What I'm getting back to is that what happens then is that these parties become more valuable in lobbying the content providers than the government. Like, in my mind, what you want is both. You want lobbyists who will lobby content providers. And I'm talking about not just like Defective by Design going and camping outside of the iPad sales event thing, you know, the announcement event. I'm talking about people lobbying with content provider organizations, stuff like that. But then you also want kind of legal change in countries. So in my mind, like, the Pirate Party is valuable in two ways, as lobbyists and as political groups in many ways, but in different ways.
Well, I mean, I understand your viewpoint, but I think realistically a lot of people would take the view that lobbying content owners to provide more free access to their content and less restrictive access is basically not worth trying because they don't care. They have no interest in doing it unless they are forced to. And if they are forced to, then it will change. And the only people who can do that forcing are government, because they're the people who make the laws. If you make it so, for example, terrestrial television broadcasts are not allowed to be encrypted, so you can't prevent someone from access to the airwaves, like in the UK they do with the BBC, for example, then at that point it can't be taken away from the populace because it's enshrined in law. Now, the BBC are trying to in certain cases, but this is the kind of thing that you can do by enforcing an open standard for everybody, by enforcing...
I don't know. You can't have one with the other. For content to be freely shared... You need to have buy-in from the content provider and the government, in my mind. But you know what? We've talked it through. We've talked about some of these issues. We've talked about the Pirate Party. We've talked about the value of lobbyist groups, the value of political groups, specifically the issue around digital rights. But it really doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what our Shot of Jack community thinks. So this is a great opportunity to go and join the conversation. So go to shotofjack.org and weigh in with your thoughts and what you think about this. Do you think the Pirate Party has got a valuable and useful mission? Do you think that political groups are valuable? Do you think that lobbying groups are valuable? What do you think? Go and let us know your thoughts on shotofjack.org.
And you can also go to shotofjack.org/discuss to find out all the ways you can get in touch with the show. So tell us how you like to lobby government. Tell us what you've done in the past. And we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.